God come with power to heal, to save, and to deliver. In the name of Jesus. Tell the glory, Lord, for I have no word of my own. Speak through me to teach your people and also to teach me. And at the end, we will live here fulfilled that indeed we have met with the Lord and you have spoken to us. May this be our testimony in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' name we pray. We want to look at a topic titled Understanding Spiritual Gifts. Understanding Spiritual Gifts. Our text is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll take it from verse 1 to verse 11. Media, can you help us with the text? The book of Corinthians, the first and the second, are some of the epistles of Apostle Paul. In fact, first and second Corinthians are specifically addressed to the church of Christ in Corinth. And see how he began. Say, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. For there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Please, let's take note of that. There are diversity of gifts, but same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Let's go back to that verse 7. Let's take special note of these verses. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. It is for the profit of all, not just for the individual. Let's take note of that. The next verse. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Now, from verse 8, the apostle began to count the various gifts. And there was one that was shaking the head of the brethren in Corinth. Maybe we would say he counted them in the order of importance according to him. So he started with this. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge. That is number two. Through the same Spirit. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Those are the first two gifts. Continue. To another, faith. That is gift of faith by the same Spirit. That is number three. To another, gift of healing. Number four. To another, the working of miracle. Five. To another, prophecy. Six. To another, discerning of spirit. Seven. To another, different kinds of tongue. That is eight. Then to another, interpretation of tongue. Nine. Okay, to verse 11. But one and the same Spirit. It's like repeating what he had said in the preceding verses. Works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Praise the Lord. We have different kinds of spiritual gifts. In Ephesus, we read about some gift of the Spirit. In his epistle to Romans, we had some there. But we want to pay a particular attention to what was rendered in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, Going by our context, we will look at 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Just as we have 9 fruit of the Spirit, we'll pay attention to this. But I have said the gifts are more. But in this place, we're paying particular attention to the 9 that are mentioned here. The gift of the Spirit are given by the Holy Spirit to the church and believers to enable them to do the same work as the Lord during his earthly ministry. Knowledge of this gift is necessary for the following reasons. 1, we ought to be thoroughly enlightened in the things which are freely given to us by God. Then in case we have spiritual gifts which are dormant, they can be stirred. That is another reason why we need to study this. That God does not want us to be ignorant. You remember how Paul started this passage that we read through. Say, brethren, concerning spiritual gift, I do not want you to be ignorant. In other words, he wants them to have knowledge of what has been provided to them, which is for the benefit of the body of Christ. It is for all of them to profit without, as Old King James will put it. Then before we go further, let's look at a concise definition of spiritual gift. Peter Wagner, a renowned author, defines spiritual gift as a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use within the context of the body. A special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member, not to some members. Please take note of that. To every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use within the context of the body. A spiritual gift is an expression of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers, which empowers them to serve the body of Christ, the church. God is the giver of the spiritual gift. It is an extraordinary power upon believers to do exploit for God. Now, back to our passage, we'll look at, if you were counting them as we read through, we saw 9 of them there. List and classification of spiritual gifts. 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are identified in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from within that verse 8 to verse 10. There are others, but we shall limit ourselves to these 9. I've mentioned that before. They fall into 3 general classifications. Please, let's take note. We have people from diverse background here and from diverse places of training. Along the line, I may render my opinion on some issues and I stand to be corrected. Praise God. Praise God. We have 9 of them and that is clear. We can count them. First, there are the revelation gifts. These are gifts that reveal something. We have 3 of them. Just as we have the 9, we can group them into 3. And 3 in each group also. Very unique. Revelation gifts are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the designing of spirit. These 3 gifts fall under revelation gifts. Then the second group, there are the power gifts. Under power gift, we have gift of faith, gift of healing, the working of miracles. That is another group. That is 6 now. Then the third group is what we call the inspiration, stroke, utterance, or vocal gift. And in what my father took on the 4th, is it 4th of November now? where we talk about spiritual gift and their related task. I think he introduced another word here as a worship gift. So we have inspiration, stroke, utterance, or vocal gift, which some scholars or theologians also can refer to as worship gifts. They are prophecy, diverse kind of tongues, and interpretation of tongue. So all these nine put together are the nine gifts of the Spirit that we'll be considering this evening, which are enshrined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and verse 10. In Ephesians, in Romans, they also talk about other gifts of the Spirit. But this is the one we are paying attention to tonight. So we'll take them, we'll take the group one after the other. The revelation gift, the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of God concerning the divine purposes and plan in the mind and will of God. It is a revelation through the power of the Holy Spirit about the future of a person, a place, a thing, an environment, and a situation or a circumstance. Then, what I told you, the word of wisdom is the best gift because it is a revelation concerning the plans and purpose in the mind of God. The difference between this that we'll look at before we talk about the issue of difference. Then, the another one that Paul quickly mentioned there was the word of knowledge. Notice that this gift is called word of knowledge, not gift of knowledge. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's called the gift of word of knowledge. It is not the gift of knowledge. There is no gift called the gift of knowledge. The word of knowledge is a situation. That we're told that the word of wisdom is the best out of these two of this revelation gift concerning the plans and purposes in the mind of God. The difference between the two gifts, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, is that the revelation, the word of knowledge, brings is always present tense or concerning something that has happened in the past. On the other hand, the word of wisdom always speaks of the future, the mind of God, what God wants to do, is about to do. Then the other one on this revelation gift is designing of spirit. A design of spirit gives supernatural insight into the spirit world. To design means to perceive by seeing or hearing. Therefore, designing of spirit is the same as seeing or hearing in the realm of spirit. Remove this so that the design of spirit actually has a limited range of operation than the other two revelation gifts, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And this is the reason, that is because its revelation is limited to a single class or object, which of course is the spirit realm. The revelation that the word of knowledge brings is broader and applied to people, places, and things. The designing of spirit gives us supernaturally insight only into the realm of spirit. So, its operation is limited. Seeing into the world of spirit. And that is why when a gift is in manifestation in a place, it takes the one who has the gift of the general spirit to be able to see into the spirit realm in order to be able to know whether the spirit in operation is of God or not of God. And this is the gift that came into play when Apostle Paul and another of the brothers on the missionary journey, when that damsel was crying after them, "These are the men of God who had come to show us the way of life. These are the," and it was like he was advertising them, like what they were, the term they were used in our radio station. It was the continuity announcer. He was advertising them. But we're told at the point Paul was grieved in the spirit, and he was able to see that what was behind what this girl was doing is not the spirit of God. And quickly Paul acted. But what she was doing, was it wrong? Quote and unquote. But Paul was able to know through the design of spirit that this girl has a contrary spirit. She rebuked the spirit and cast the spirit out of the girl. And all of a sudden, the masters showed up. Scripture recorded that they have made so much gain from the activity of this damsel, and they were not pleased with what Paul did. That is not our focus now. So, once again, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the design of spirit are the revelation gifts. They are one class of these nine gifts that we are looking into today. Then we move to the other three. We call the power gifts. The power gifts are spiritual gifts to do something, and we have these three under power gift: the gift of faith, the gift of working of miracles, and the gift of healing. These three put together are under what theologians classify as power gift. So we'll look at them one after the other as well. The gift of faith is a special kind of faith given by the Holy Spirit to some individual believers, which enables such believers to believe God without doubting at all. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Matthew 21:21. Luke 17:6. "For something that is ordinarily impossible." The Romans 12:3. The Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. The Philippians chapter 1, verse. If you get the outline, you see the references. Time may not give us the room to read all of them. We're told that the gift of faith is that special kind of faith given by the Holy Spirit to some individual believers, which enables such believers to believe God without iota of doubt, without trace of doubt in their heart, for something that is ordinarily impossible. Now, one unique thing about gift of faith, when you read through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, faith is also mentioned there as a fruit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when we give our life to Christ, in fact, for every believer, we have a measure of faith. Amen. It takes faith to believe that Jesus came and died for you. Hallelujah. But what we are referring to here is a special gift that God gives to some individual to believe God for the extraordinary. There are many kinds of faith. Everyone has faith. There is simple faith and salvation faith. There is also a difference between the measure of faith which is given to a believer and the gift of faith. The gift of faith under this context means extraordinary trust in God under the most difficult or dangerous circumstances. The gift of faith attains blindness to every unpleasant situation around one, and deafness to the voice of the flesh and men, but openness and focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith is a fundamental requirement of the Christian life, through which one seizes differently and which helps one to respond positively in a godly manner to situations and circumstances around and within. But what we are considering is this gift that is mentioned as the gift of faith. In fact, if you want to make a teaching, if we can, I can work on 300 pages book on just this. But we are limiting ourselves to what we are talking about here as gift of faith. Then we move on to another gift that is mentioned under the power gift, the gift of working of miracles. A miracle can be defined as a supernatural intervention by God in the ordinary course of nature. Working of miracle is a situation where a person ordained by God suspends the law of nature to supernaturally effect a work that is uncommon, like raising the dead. Working of miracle is to glorify God and to demonstrate his power, not to edify man. And we have several examples of the gift of working of miracles in scripture and even in our contemporary times. Number one, Jesus and the feeding of the 5,000 men. Matthew 14, 13 through 21. We have that account there. Jesus walked on the water. When all boat had left, Jesus needed to meet up with disciples. Of course, he's the master of the universe. The water will not be hindrance. He got to the seashore and walked across to go and meet disciples. And when they saw him, they thought he was a ghost, because at the point they were already having issues with their boat. And there is this belief among sailors of old that when evil spirits want to capsize boats, after the contrary wind, all of a sudden you will just see a ghost, and the next thing the boat will capsize. So when they saw the master walking towards them, they say, "We are finished." And the ghost, when walk capsize the boat, so now don't show body to us. So Jesus told them, "Be of good cheer." And their spokesman, Peter, "So again, are you? If now you tell me, make I come." Say, "Come." And Brother Peter stepped out of the boat and started moving towards him. And scripture recorded at the point, maybe it was like, "Now maybe this." I mean, they walk on top of the water, serving another person. And his eyes left Jesus, and he saw the contrary wind coming. And scripture recorded at that point, immediately he took his eyes off the master, and his attention was now on the contrary wind. He began to sink. No wonder scripture says, "Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith." All right. So then we also have another one. Elymas was struck blind. That man called Elymas, who thought he could buy the power of God with money and all of that. Who was thinking, and Paul told him he should be blind for a season, and all of a sudden they had to hold him by the hand to lead him out of that place. When Aaron threw down, this an example in the Old Testament, when Aaron threw down his rod and it was turned into a serpent, Exodus chapter 7 verse 10, then fire flashed from the sky and consumed a sacrifice. These are examples of working of miracles. And today, that same Lord is still doing miracles in the life of his people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then we have the gift of healing as one of the gifts under this power gift, the gift of healing. The gift of healing are manifested for the supernatural healing of sickness and disease without any natural source or means. Healings were, of course, in prominence in Jesus' ministry as he walked on the earth. Jesus had a healing ministry, and he also gave authority to his disciples to heal the sick. It has nothing to do with prescription of medical personnel. grace is a gift that God can bestow on his servant, on his children, for healing of sicknesses and diseases without any natural source or means. Matthew chapter 10 verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is the declaration of Jesus to his disciples. And that same law indeed is confirmed in it today, with signs and wonders following. Healing the sick is also included in the Great Commission, Mark chapter 16, verse 18. They will take up serpent, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And indeed, God is doing this. God's servants are laying hands on the sick, and they are recovering. Hard cases of poisoning, and God healed. I'm a living example of God's miraculous healing. My mother told me when I was a baby, it was as though we would not use this one to do anything, that the boy was always sick. But Christ, who knew he would use him, later had to show up for him and heal him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there are other miraculous deliverance and healing of Christ that I can also remember, even as an adult or as a growing young man some years back. I remember there was a time selling fuel back at home there. Somebody came, you know, all those lanterns. I carried 20 liters of fuel, put lantern nearby. I was turning as if I was turning water. Till today, anytime my mind went to that incident, I wonder why the whole thing did not explode that day. But I knew it was God. Days later, I heard my father saying, if anybody go buy fuel and there is no torch, don't go and sell. Oh. And I remember I carried lantern to go and turn the fuel as if I was turning water. Fear not, let me talk, say I had one yesterday. But I became scared and I knew it was God that kept me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God loves his boy. And his name is working for him, Ogene Kawuku. And God is really helping him. Amen. So, then we look at the other ones. Having looked at this one, the gift of faith, the gift of working on miracle, and the gift of healing, these are the three under the power gift. Then we have the other three, the utterance or inspiration or vocal gift. These are spiritual gifts that say something. The first under this one is the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is the most important of the three gifts of inspiration or utterance. The reason is that it takes the other two inspirational gifts, diverse kind of tongues and interpretation of tongue, to equal this one gift. If I had a shock body now, I would have stated it mathematically. So, speaking of tongue plus interpretation of tongue equals prophecy. Praise the Lord. So, with these two put together, That's why we say it is the most important of these three, because we need to merge the other two to produce the same effect with this one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, for greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. This infers that to speak with tongues and to interpret the tongue is equivalent to prophecy. Therefore, prophecy is really the most important of the three gifts of inspiration or utterance gift. That is, it does not require another gift to complete it. Prophecy as a gift does not require another gift to complete it. But speaking diverse tongue requires interpretation to complete it. Interpretation, we need tongues to interpret before it can become meaningful, or before it can become a blessing to the people. Prophecy is supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Diverse kind of tongue is supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. Let's get them. Interpretation of tongue is supernatural showing forth of that which has been said in an unknown tongue. Prophecy is utterance in a known tongue. Diverse kind of tongue is supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. Why interpretation of tongue is supernatural showing forth of that which has been spoken in an unknown tongue. The Greek word that is translated prophecy means to speak for another. So, prophecy can mean to speak for God or to be a spokesman. Prophecy is a prediction through the power of the Holy Spirit about the future of a thing, a place, or a person. A prophecy must always agree with the word of God, should not instill fear, but should bring peace. I believe there are true prophets of God even today. However, we must note that the gift of prophecy is also one of the gifts that have been so misused in our time today. And that is why, as a good student of the Bible, you should be able to match prophecies that you receive with the word of God. We noted here that prophecy is not supposed to instill fear, but should bring peace. And many of the prophets we have today are the ones that were told, I see one woman for your back. Say, your mama see their life. Say, yes, so now they worry you so. When you suffer, carry me. When I'm small, you don't worry me. Now she won't worry me. The devil is a liar. So, when you run after prophecy, especially the ones we have today, if care is not taken, you may miss the mark. If care is not taken, your home can be rubbish for you, and every person in your home will become a suspect as a witch or as a wizard. Prophecy is not supposed to instill fear. It ought to bring peace. The gift of diverse kind of tongue. I need to run. I feel very small. The gift of diverse kind of tongue. The word diverse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 10 is italicized, which means that it was added by the translator. Actually, the verse reads, to another kinds of tongue. That is referring to the old King James. However, in another scripture, Paul said that God set in the church diverse of tongues. Therefore, we should not be out of line scripturally to say diverse kind of tongues or different kinds of tongue. This utterance gift of tongue is an important gift. That tongue is the doer in the supernatural. The utterance gift of tongue is an important gift. The tongue. That tongue is a doer into the supernatural. This doesn't necessarily mean the gift of tongue is the best gift. Of course, this is what was creating problem in the church in Corinth. And to those of them who speak in tongue, they feel they are the spiritual ones. And if you don't know how to speak in tongue, you are not spiritual. And I think you see happening today. That is why speaking of tongue is taught in some churches. And I must admit here, this is one of the reasons why I hated speaking of tongues while I was growing up as a believer. Praise the Lord. This is true confession. Amen. Amen. One day rain was falling. I was standing in front of my father's compound. And some believers, they were coming. I don't know the church they belong. The rain chased them. They were at the corridor of the compound near us. After a while, I was overhearing them. One teaching the others how to speak tongue. And from there, I developed hatred for speaking of tongues. And when I finally had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there I was praying in church and I saw something like that coming. Ah! I was like looking for super glue to gum my tongues so that it will not come out. Another time, it repeated itself. Until one day I was in the house praying for hours. I could not hold it again. That was in the early 90s. These gifts are real. These are God's special gift to the body of Christ. They have been misused over time. But that does not mean that we don't have it in operation. We must take note of that. And if you have my experience too, maybe one of the reasons why you have not been able to speak in tongue is that you have developed hatred for it. I've just confessed my own now. And God help me. May God also help you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we move to the gift of interpretation of tongue, which is the last one under this gift for this three group, and of course for the entire nine, the gift of interpretation of tongue. The gift of interpretation of tongue is the least gift of all gifts of the Spirit, because it depends upon another gift, diverse kind of tongue, in order to operate. It does not operate unless tongues have been in operation. Interpretation of tongue to render the gift of tongues understandable to the hearer, so that the whole church congregation, as well as the one who gave the utterance in an unknown tongue, may know what has been said and may be edified thereby. It is the ability to interpret tongues. And that is the gift of interpretation of tongue. We said it is dependent on another for its operation. Tongues, a medium have been sent in tongues, which will bring about the need of this one to interpret. And by that, it becomes the least of all of them. But this gift that we just talked about was the gift that was one of the problems that Apostle Paul had to write. In fact, the church had so many problems in the days of Apostle Paul. Issues of immorality, issue of I belong to this, I belong to that, forming of cliques and all of that, issue of taking one another to court, and of course, issue on a spiritual gift. So, that book of First Corinthians was actually written to address these diverse issues that were in the church then. And Paul had to write to correct this. That you speak in tongue and your brother do not speak in tongue does not in any way make you more spiritual than the one who does not speak in tongue. Hallelujah. But that does not also to say that it is something that we should not desire. Like I said earlier on, we have diverse background. I'm aware we have different people with different training here, and I may say some things that I feel that is my stand, and I have said I stand to be corrected. Now, under this gift of tongue, sometimes some people will just say, hey, since there is nobody to interpret, you don't need to speak in tongue. That becomes necessary when, as I am teaching, somebody stand up and is blasting in tongues there. I could pause and say that God is sending us a message. Maybe after 5-10 minutes of tongues, he could say, this is what God has said, and we are edified. The tongue plus the interpretation now equals prophecy. Praise the Lord. But in a worship service where we pray, praying in tongues is different from this gift that we have talked about. Scripture says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we ought to pray. Sometimes you could wake up in the night with a burden to pray, and you don't just know what to pray about. As you stand up worshiping, the Spirit could help you and throw you into speaking of tongues, and that moment you could be interceding for somebody thousands of miles away, unknown. We had one like that, a preacher. In the night, God woke him up, said, son, pray. He had a body, woke up, he doesn't know what he started. He got up, started blasting in tongues. Years later, a preacher came from another country praying, and he shared an experience that on so time he would have been dead in the night. He shared his experience, and while he was talking, this man was in the congregation, and God told him, said, this is the person I woke you up to intercede for, and reminded him the year and the time. That was years later. So it is a tool of prayer. But in a worship, in a corporate worship, that won't stand up to declare a tongue, that is where the interpretation, and if there is no one to interpret, hence Paul said, the person should keep quiet. And when we are praying, everybody is praying, and you decide to pray in tongue, don't let anybody shut you down. That is my submission, and I stand to be corrected that I said earlier on. Praise God. Then quickly, as I round off, purpose of the gift of the Spirit. God intended that the gift of the Spirit should be used for a special purpose in the church. The gift of the Spirit are not toys for play. They are God's love gift to the church. Any attempt to use them for selfish or frivolous purpose would be a tragic mistake. The paramount purpose of the gifts are to manifest the body of Christ, the church. The gifts were designed to enable the church to function fully and properly as the expression of Jesus Christ on earth. That does not also mean that today you saw the manifestation of the gift of healing. Oh, after all, my pastor never pray, give any person an intensify saying heal. What a powerful man I am now. It's time to go and start my church. That is error. Error. Error raised to power 3. To assist in the evangelization of the world, this is the great commission to believers. To edify the church for the deliverance of God's people, here the gift of power are in operation for the perfecting of the church, perfecting of the saints. And quickly, spiritual gifts are not conclusion. Spiritual gifts are not natural talent or skills that a person developed through training. They are abilities that only the Holy Spirit can produce in the life of a believer. It should be well stated that it is true that every believer does manifest a gift of the Spirit from some point in their spiritual maturity and experience. The experience of being filled with the Spirit has always been a catalyst and an entrance into the realm of powerful manifestation of these gifts. They are thus special because of their source and service-oriented nature. For joy to our close here. God bless you.